This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there. And for those watching on YouTube, yes, here is a different place. I'm on Uncle Craig duty in Columbus, Ohio. And we're having a good time, Logan.
I bet you're having a great time. Nothing like being an uncle. Uncle's the best. Uncle's the best spot to be because you don't have to really discipline. You don't have to really do anything. And then when, you know, they're being a mess, you can just be like, hey, go back to your mom and dad and hang out with them for a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, here's a 5-day-old newborn. Can you hold them? Sure. It's a lot of pressure. Just don't drop them. But like if people saw on my personal Instagram, I was holding baby Adi the other day watching film. And I was like, man, grinded. I don't know. Am I ready for dad life? That's what multitasking dad life is, right? It's holding the baby in one arm, you know, rewind the film on the other one to see what happened there in the A gap.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like I'm a pretty strong guy. I work out a lot, but I remember being so sore from holding my kids because like they're like a big thing of Jello. So like, you know, they don't have this like center. You're always kind of like guarding them. But I do remember that. Now they're big. My kids are 10 and 7, so different. But in the beginning, I remember thinking like, God, like I need to work out more so I can hold my baby better.
Yeah, do a little shoulder stability. Yeah, I when I handed the baby back to mom last night, I was like, oh wow, my bicep is out a little bit.
What's going on here? Yeah.
And then of course we're mainly on 3-year-old duty, and boy, three's a fun age.
Three's a fun age.
Yeah, lots of opinions. Only so many ways to express them.
Yeah, they big feelings, and they like are becoming a human at that point.
Yes.
And like when they can't talk and do stuff, you're like, I don't know if I like you that much at three. So,
but no, my mom would say when I was younger, this feels like a very big statement to say. Anyway, I will always love you. I don't always like you.
That's fair point.
Yeah. She did tell me that when I was old enough, I think, to handle it. But anyway, that's 3-year-old life, baby. But today on the show, speaking of threes, we're going to take three statements that are kind of the running narratives about the Commanders offense. And we're going to true false them. And that is how we're going to go through this Philly film breakdown, as opposed to our usual, just like, let's run through kind of how everybody played and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to attack these three narratives. And then at the end of the show, we'll get into the defense, which is just flat out playing good football. And we'll talk about some of the details kind of in the way that we normally do. But the defense played really well. They deserve plenty of praise. But just, hey, they did a good job. It's only so interesting. And a lot of talk right now about the team is obviously what's going on with this offense that carried them through the first half of the season. So, Logan, we have these three narratives that we're going to attack here. One is Jaden Daniels and whether or not he is hurt, regressing, whatever. But the Jaden Daniels narrative. Two, Cliff Kingsbury. Are we hitting the late season Cliff Kingsbury regression? And then last but not least, is the team now playing at the talent level perhaps that we thought it had earlier in the season or coming into the season? Is that lack of talent that we had ascribed actually showing? But let's start with the quarterback. Let's start with Jaden Daniels. And Dan Quinn opened his press conference the other day saying, look, I cannot stress this enough. Jaden Daniels is not hurt going into this week. Now, the way he phrased it, maybe he's like, ah, there could have been some lingering things, but he certainly phrased it as the thing that hurt Jaden or has hurt Jaden the last couple of weeks is not actually the rib, but the missed practice time. When you watch Jaden Daniels right now, what do you see from him, and especially in this Philly game where he just was not nearly as sharp as he has been, even in some of the other games since he's been hurt?
Yeah, I mean, like, so he hurt his rib versus Carolina, right?
Yep.
And then, so to me, like, I went back, so I've had a lot of time, and so I went back and watched, you know, the Chicago game, went back and watched the Giants game, and then I went back and, you know, watched the Pittsburgh game just to kind of get a feel for, like, what's going on. And I actually think, like, the Giants game is probably one of his better games of the year, and that's post-rib injury, right? And so I think, like, you know, obviously, if he is hurt, he's shown that he's capable of playing with the injury at a very high level and very consistently. I think even the Pittsburgh game to a certain extent, right? Like, I don't think he was making bad decisions. I think there was a little bit of pressure. I think that to me is where the difference resides. Cause I think you look at the Chicago game, that's one of his better games of the year. I just said how I think the second New York Giants game is one of his better games just from a pure decision making standpoint, big moment standpoint. And then you go back and you say, okay, well, where does this regression start? It doesn't start post-injury. It starts versus Pittsburgh and it starts versus Philly. And now that's where all the conversation kind of starts. So if he is hurt, he's able to play at a high level with it, which is kudos to him. He's a tough kid and he's a good competitor. And I look at Pittsburgh, like, what are they able to do really well? They're able to play tight coverage on the outside and create pressure in the middle of the defense while rushing four. What is Philly able to do? Almost the exact same thing. And so the other thing I'd say with Philly, and in this game specifically, is one thing that we didn't talk about in the preview show, and I'm kind of kicking myself that we didn't, is Vic Fangio is the master of this, like, quarters, hybrid, match, three, man thing that is really hard to diagnose. And so one of the things that I went back and I looked at the Giants game, for example, we just talked about how that one of his, that's in my opinion, one of his better games of the year, and how confident he's letting the ball go, how he's on rhythm, how he's kind of got this nice bounce in his step. Hey, we're hitting this high cross to Noah Brown. I'm going to hit the top of my drop, take a hitch, and the ball's out with great lower body mechanics, great torque in the upper body, and a nice snap of the wrist. I see the same concept and, quite frankly, the same throw. And it looks completely different because there's no rhythm to the throw. He's looking. He's like, oh, shoot, there it is. And he's trying to rush it with his arm. And while he's extremely talented physically, right, we've talked about his release, talked about the snap of it, talked about, you know, kind of his lower body mechanics, how they're always kind of correct. He doesn't have this, like, overpowering arm. Like, I also watched a little bit of, like, Anthony Richardson and Josh Allen this weekend. And those dudes can, like, have the worst lower body mechanics of all time, and that ball can go 60 yards. Like, it's just, they have a different caliber of arm, and that's not Jaden. And so when his lower body mechanics, in my opinion, are not lined up, the throw is not going to make it there. And so to me, it's not necessarily the rib. It could be impacting him a little bit, but he's shown he can throw with the rib injury. It's his uncertainty regarding the defense, I think, is leading to some mechanics issues with his feet that are making throws kind of errant. And the other thing I wanted to point out, so that's like the film, right? That's like the film thing,
right?
Is when you don't practice as a young football player, I wonder, and I'm glad Dan mentioned it, that you lose some of the timing with receivers. You lose some of that ability to get to a base. So I do think that's also a factor here, 100%.
Yeah, and you would know this obviously better than me, but, like, practice speed, you know, quote unquote full speed is one thing, and then game full speed is an even another level. And so if you're going, and by the way, it's even in a higher level, even faster when you're facing one of the best defenses in the league. And so you go from no live reps to the Philadelphia Eagles, and that game is going to feel incredibly fast. And I mean, are the Eagles the best defense in football? They're playing like probably one of the five best right now. Yeah. But I mean, from a complexity standpoint, there are few teams that I'd want to play off of a short week with no practice as a rookie, especially. Like, Jaden's just never seen that before. Like, for all the great defenses that he's faced this year, and he's at this point faced, you know, three or four really, really, really good ones, you know, for everything that he faced when he was at LSU and the SEC, and specifically that Alabama defense, which I remember we were talking in the draft process, and you're like, this Alabama defense is more complex than, you know, 70% of the defenses that he'll see in the NFL. that zone match thing is in that 30%. It's in the top 5% of it. Like, it is incredibly difficult to do and to just not have the practice time. You know, you can do the VR reps, you can do all that kind of stuff. I actually got a great email too that was like, hey, even if he does all this VR stuff and if he does a couple hundred reps a day on a short week, he's a couple hundred reps short. And so from a VR standpoint, from a walkthrough standpoint, there's just not the time. Nevertheless, the full practices that you need to let your body recover. And so to me, yes, I could see why someone, I'm not going to insult people's intelligence and be like, why would you say he's playing like he's hurt when he was, you know, just hurt and he's not playing as well as he did earlier this year. But to me, he looks far more like a guy who played against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles than he does just a guy who's hurt. Like, go watch other quarterbacks try to play against these teams. It's hard. You know, they put up 27 against Pittsburgh and all of a sudden that looks like what the Lions did this weekend, because, you know, Baltimore couldn't move the ball at all. Like, they would have been what, 10 points if not for that final drive in the 2 minute where Lamar, finally gets them going. And like, Lamar struggled some in that game, like a lot more on his receivers and I think a lot of other factors, but yeah, man, like, this Eagles defense is nasty. That Steelers defense is nasty. And he was also playing at the first part of this season better than any rookie quarterback we'd ever seen. And from an accuracy standpoint, completion percentage, better than any quarterback we'd ever seen. I think he had the highest completion percentage ever through four games. So some of this is just regressing to the mean. Some of this is the competition. I'm sure some small percentage of it is the rib, but I really think those other factors are the big things with Jaden Daniels right now. And they do show up on tape in the ways you mentioned, like that Noah Brown when he throws at Noah's feet. You're just like, man, that's a throw he's made all year. And I think against the Cowboys, he'll probably be able to make it again. I'm not really that concerned in the long term compared to, oh my God, this rib has changed him for the rest of his rookie season.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't. It doesn't feel like that. At least the way Dan's talking about it. At least the way he's moving around in the field. I know I missed the TV copy. I know a lot of people said it looks like he's like wincing and like holding his ribs. When I'm on the sideline, like walking the bench, I don't get that vibe that people are like, oh my gosh, like, are you okay? The trainers don't come up to him all the time. It's not like they're constantly checking in. And, you know, like when I've played with big time quarterbacks who've had injuries, like they're almost constantly being, you know, monitored. And it's like, I'm sure there is some level of monitoring happening, but it doesn't seem like it's this overwhelming kind of like, are you okay? Do we need to do this? Do you need this? And so again, like, that's why I kind of shy away from the rib. But also I think like you did a great job illuminating that. Just when you watch the film, like these two defenses they have played the last 2 weeks are completely different animals than the defenses that we've played or the team has played prior to these teams. Like, you know, like I can't think of a team defensively that was even close, quite frankly, in the first like 8 games of the season. And I know people say, oh, what about Baltimore? And Baltimore is struggling bad right now. They're having a hard time in coverage. Their new defensive coordinator, that definitely shows up for them. And then the other thing I want to say about Philly is not only are they really good in terms of understanding what Vic Fangio wants from this kind of quarters match defense that they're running, but also their personnel is playing really, really well. And they've like really bought into it. And you look at Quinyon Mitchell, you look at the safety from Iowa. Yeah, DeJean, yeah. Like, he's doing a great job. And then Slay's doing a great job. And the front is starting to rush the passer significantly better. And it's just a different animal. It's a different speed. And when you watch the film, it kind of jumps off the tape at you. And so before, earlier in the year, like when you're playing teams that play good coverage but don't have a good pass rush, like, he could stay back there and kind of, he was never making deliberate decisions, like long decisions, but he had a little bit more time to make the decisions. Like, there's a play that's coming to mind where they're running like a slant to the left to Terry, and they've got like spacing. So like, spacing is like someone's over the ball, someone's on the hash, and someone's in the flat. And so he looks to throw the slant. They do a good job of dropping a coverage underneath. He goes to over the ball and Noah Brown trips a little bit. And so that's like maybe usually not a big deal, but basically the hook player is so fast to rally to the eyes that the trip is enough to close the window. And then they cover the guy on the hash. So he ends up throwing a flat to Austin Eckler. He does a good job working the progression, but there's nothing there. And then he ends up throwing the flat for a 2 yard loss. And earlier in the season, he'd go slant over the ball, boom. And it's like, we're not even thinking twice about it. But because of the defense, because of the rush, it just closes windows. And like, did he miss stuff in this game? Yeah, but I think he missed stuff because you got to give credit to Philly to a certain extent and say, man, they did a really good job of playing good defense.
So that's actually what I was going to say is I don't feel like he missed an overt, like crazy amount of stuff though. Like I think his decision making is still good. There's just less open in this game. And again, not to say that he's perfect and he doesn't miss anything. And if there's any particular misses that you want to elaborate on that you think are illustrative of anything, like we can absolutely dive into those. But I do think it's worth pointing out, like, Jaden, when you talk about a regression, right, the accuracy and stuff has obviously not been as good, and we've talked about some of the reasons why, but it is not like from a decision-making standpoint he's all of a sudden like the league has figured him out. No, just offensively, which is going to bring us to our second point here in a minute with Cliff, there's just not as much open. But I'm going to say that is far more on Pittsburgh doing a really good job with what they do, and in a different way, but at an equal level, if not even a greater level, Philadelphia doing an excellent job with what they do and covering things up.
No, I think that's 100% right. And so obviously, like, when you go through it, like with the clicker in your hand, you're kind of like, here are a couple decisions that, you know, would be explosive plays. And, on the first third down, I think we talked about this briefly from like a offensive PI standpoint. So basically what they're doing, Philly is, I forget if they're an empty formation. Washington's an empty formation. No, not. Austin's in the backfield. But basically the linebacker who has him in man coverage, like, walks up in the line of scrimmage. And so they're running like spots. So like spot, Zach Ertz, who's kind of the receiver of that offensive right there, is going to run a sit, and then Austin's going to run like a rail from the backfield. And so the thing I've noticed in this game is just Jaden just seemed a little bit accelerated, a little bit sped up. He reminded me a little bit of how he looked in Tampa Bay, quite honestly. And so he looks over there to the offensive right. Zach does a good job of creating like a nice pick there. It's like within 1 yard line of scrimmage. And so Austin's basically like wide open up the seam. And so to me, it's like Jaden takes a look at it, and instead of like seeing it, he immediately goes to the high cross. So basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to get a sit to kind of hold the low, you got a rail around to kind of widen it, and you get the high cross coming across the middle field. Everybody runs a version of that concept. It's a big high school concept as well. So instead of like seeing the spot concept, he just rushes right to the next thing. And I understand, like, on paper, like, yeah, you should probably rush to this next thing, but how they're playing that coverage, this backside safety is not, he's not covering the spot, he's covering the cross. So it ends up being this tight window throw. So to me, it's like, just take a breath, let the concept breathe, make that throw, and then we're talking about an explosive offensive play, maybe a touchdown. And again, like, is his process correct? Yes. But when he went, like, for in Tampa, for example, he struggled a little bit because he was moving through stuff too quickly. And I feel like that was happening a little bit. And and I'm being hypercritical here in terms of that kind of decision making. There's another one later where there's a little bit of pressure up the middle of the field. Zach uncovers up on a sit over 10 yards over the middle of the field, and he just starts scrambling. And it's like, could he make that throw? Maybe. But also there's pressure. There's a lot of things going on here. So I'm not saying that, like, to your point, he's making bad decisions. It's just the defense was better. They're better coached. Right. They're better executing. And so the windows and the margin for error were significantly smaller. And I think that's the thing I came out with is, like, is his decision-making gone completely insane? No. It's just the windows, the timing, everything is just a little bit turned up. And so if you miss it, there's no like, oh, I can see that now. Let me throw the ball. Like there has been versus other teams they've played this year.
And because they're so fast and so athletic, the scramble lanes aren't there either. Mm, and that's two teams in a row that have been able to do that to him. And they might be two of five teams in the league that can actually do that. So that's something to obviously watch moving forward.